Osho, Vigyan Bhairav Tantra, Volume 2, The Book of the Secrets, A New Commentary, Discourse Number 4, given in Bombay, India.
The first question. In reference to your statement that Tantra is a love technique, please explain why modern men and women have become incapable of love. Love is spontaneous. It cannot be controlled. You cannot make love. You cannot do anything about it. And the more you do, the more you will miss it. You have to allow it to happen. You are not needed for it. Your presence is the hindrance. The more absent, the better. When you are not, love happens. Because of this, modern man and woman have become incapable of love. They are capable of doing things. The whole modern mind is based on doing. So whatsoever can be done, modern man can do more efficiently than any man that has ever existed. Whatsoever can be done, we can do more efficiently. We are the most efficient century. We have turned everything into technology, how to do it. We have developed in one dimension, and that is the dimension of doing. But in developing this dimension, we have lost much. At the cost of being, we have learned how to do things. So that which can be done, we can do better than anyone, any society that ever existed on earth. But when the question of love comes, the problem arises because it cannot be done. And not only with love, all that which cannot be done, we have become incapable. For example, meditation. We have become incapable. It cannot be done. Play. We have become incapable. It cannot be done. Joy, happiness, we have become incapable because they cannot be done. They are not acts. You cannot manipulate them. On the contrary, you have to let go yourself. Then joy happens to you. Then happiness comes to you. Then love enters you. Then love takes possession. And because of this possession, we have become afraid. Modern mind, modern man wants to possess everything. And not being possessed by anything. Modern man wants to be the master of everything. And you can be only masters of things. Not of happenings. You can be the master of a house. You can be the master of a mechanical device. You cannot be the master of anything which is alive. Life cannot be mastered. You cannot possess it. On the contrary, you have to be possessed by it. Only then there is contact with it. Love is life, and it greater than you. You cannot possess it. I would like to repeat it. Love is greater than you. You cannot possess it. You can only allow yourself to be possessed by it. It cannot be controlled. Modern ego wants to control everything. And whatsoever you cannot control, you become scared about it. You are afraid. You close the door. You close that dimension completely because fear enters. You will not be in control. With love, you cannot be in control. And the whole trend which has led to this century was how to control. All over the world, and particularly in the West, how to control nature, how to control everything, how to control energies. Man must become the master. And you have become master. Of course, only of those things which are possible to be possessed. But then side by side you have been developing the incapacity for those things which cannot be possessed. So you can possess money, you cannot possess love. And because of this, we have been turning everything into a thing, even persons. We go on turning into things because then you can purchase them. If you love a person, you are not the master. No one is the master. Two persons love each other. No one is the master, neither the lover nor the beloved. Rather, love is the master. And both are purchased by a greater force than themselves, encircled by a greater force, a whirlwind. If they try to possess each other, they will miss. Then they can possess each other. Then the lover will become the husband and the beloved will become the wife. Then they can possess. But husband is a thing. Wife is a thing. They are not persons. You can possess them. They are dead entities, legal labels, not alive. We go on turning persons into things just to possess them, and then we feel frustrated because we wanted to possess the person and the person cannot be possessed. When you possess it, it is no more the person, it is a dead thing. And you cannot be fulfilled by a dead thing. So this, look at this contradiction. You can be fulfilled only by persons, never by things. And your mind desires possession. So you turn them into things. Then you cannot be fulfilled, then frustration sets in. Possessiveness, the attitude to possess, has killed the capacity to love. Don't think in terms of possession. Rather, think in terms of being possessed. That is what surrender means, being possessed. You allow yourself to be possessed by something greater than you. Then you will be not in control. Then a greater force will take you. Then the direction will not be yours. Then you cannot choose the goal. Then the future is unknown. You cannot be secure now. moving with a greater force than yourself, you are insecure, afraid. If you are afraid and insecure, it is better not to move with great forces. Just work with lower forces than you. Then you can be the master, and you can decide the goal beforehand, and you will get the goal, but you will not get anything out of it. Just you would have wasted your life. The secret of love and the secret of prayer and the secret of anything that can make you fulfilled is surrender. The capacity to be possessed. Because of this, and there are other reasons also, but this is the base. The other reasons, the first, is too much emphasis on intellect, reason. So man is lopsided. Your head has grown, you know, and your heart has remained absolutely neglected. And love is not a capacity of the intellect. It is a different center. It has a different locus, source. It is your heart. It is your feeling. It is not reasoning, but the whole modern education consists of reasoning, logic, intellect, mind. The heart is not even talked about. It is really denied. It is just a poetic fiction. It is not. It is a reality. Just look at it in this way. If from the very beginning a child is brought up without any training of the mind, any reasoning, any intellectual training, will he have an intellect? He cannot. There have been cases. Sometimes it has happened that wolves have brought a human child. Just 10 years before, one child was cut off from a forest. The wolves have brought him up. He was 14 years of age. He couldn't even stand on two legs. He will run on his force. He couldn't speak a single word. He will roar like a wolf. He was in every way a wolf. 14 years of age. Those who have caught him, they named him Ram. The child took 6 months to learn the name. And within a year, the child died. And the psychologists who were working on him, they suspect that he died because too much strain of intellect. This forcing, training to stand on 2 feet, this memory, remembering the name, this effort to make him a human being killed him. He was robust and healthy when he was caught. More healthy than any human being ever is. He was just like an animal. But this training killed him. And the only proof the child could give of his intellect was this much. After 6 months constant training, punishment, creating a profit motive, every effort was done that if you could have asked what is your name, he will say Ram. This was the whole intellect. What happened? If someone from Mars gets hold of this child, they will think humanity has no mind, no intellect, no reasoning. The same has happened to the heart. Without training, it is as if it is not. It has been completely neglected. So your whole life energy has been forced towards the head, not towards the heart. And love is a functioning of the heart center. That's why modern man has become incapable of love, because modern man has become incapable of a heart. He calculates, and love is not a calculation. He knows arithmetic. Love is not arithmetic. He thinks in terms of logic. Love is illogical. He always tries to rationalize everything whatsoever he is doing. Reason must support it. Love is not supported by reason. Really, when you fall in love, you throw your reason completely. That's why we say man falls in love. Falls from where? Falls from the head down to the heart. And we use this term of condemnation, falling in love, because the head, the reason, cannot look it without condemning it. It is a fall. Really, is love a fall or a rising? You become more with it or you become less? You expand or you shrink? With love you become more. Your consciousness is more. Your feeling is more. Your aesthetic sensation is more. Your sensitivity is more. You are more alive. But one thing is less. Reasoning is less. You cannot reason it out. It is blind. As far as reason is concerned, it is blind. The heart has its own reasons. That's another thing. And the heart has its own eyes. But that's another thing. The eyes of reason are not there. So reason says it is a fall. You have fallen. Unless the heart center starts functioning again, man will not be capable of love. And the whole misery of modern life is because unless man loves, he cannot feel any meaning in his life. Life looks meaningless. Love gives it meaning. Only love is the meaning. Unless you are capable of love, you will be meaningless, and you will feel that you are existing without any meaning, futile, and suicide will become attractive. You would like to kill yourself, to finish with yourself, to end, because what is the use of existing? Mere existing cannot be tolerated. Existence must have a meaning. Otherwise, what is the use? Why go on prolonging yourself unnecessarily? Why go on repeating the same pattern every day? Getting out of the bed and doing the same thing, and again falling asleep, and the next day the same pattern. Why? You have done it so far. What has happened? And you will do it. Unless death comes and relieves you of your burden. So what is the use? Love gives meaning. Not that through love there any result comes into being or any goal. No. But through love, every moment becomes a value in itself. Then you never ask. If someone asks, what is the meaning of life? Know well that love is lacking. Whenever someone asks, what is the meaning of life? He is asking because he has not been able to flower in a love experience. Whenever someone is in love, he never asks what is the meaning of life. He knows the meaning. There is no need to ask. He knows the meaning. The meaning is there. Love is the meaning in life. And through love, prayer is possible. Because prayer is again a love relationship. Not between two individuals, but between one individual and existence itself. Then the whole existence becomes your beloved or lover. But it is possible only through love experience that you can grow into prayer or into meditation. And the ultimate ecstasy is just like love. That's why Jesus says, God is love. Not that God is loving. Christians have been interpreting it in that way, that God is kind, loving. That is not the meaning. Jesus says God is love. He simply equals God and love. You can say love or you can say God. They both mean the same. God is not loving. God is love itself. If you can love, you have entered the divine. And when your love grows to such infinity that it is not concerned with anyone in particular, but has become a diffused phenomena, there is no lover to you. Rather, the whole existence has become, all that is has become the lover or beloved. It has become prayer. And Tantra is a love method. So the first thing is how to love. And then the second thing is how to grow in love so that love becomes prayer. But one must start from love. And don't be afraid of love, because that fear shows you are afraid of the heart. The head is cunning. The heart is innocent. With head you feel protected. With heart you become vulnerable. Open. Anything can happen. That's why we have become closed. The fear is there. If you are vulnerable, anything can happen to you. Someone can deceive you. With the mind, no one can deceive you. You can deceive others. But I will tell you, be ready to be deceived, but don't close the heart. Be ready to be deceived, but don't close the heart. That is worth it, that vulnerability to be deceived. Because you will not lose anything. And if you are ready to be deceived infinitely, only then you can believe in the heart. If you are calculative, cunning, clever, too much clever, then you will miss the heart. And modern man is so educated, so sophisticated, so clever. That's why he has become incapable of love. Women were not so, but they are following the modern man fast. They are copying the modern man fast. Sooner or later, they will become just like man. Or they may even overtake him. They are also now becoming incapable. Because the same head, orientation, the same effort to be cunning and clever is there now. They may call it live movement or anything, but it is not a heart oriented. It is just a copy of the same stupidity that man has been doing with himself. You may go to the other extreme, but if you follow and react, even in your reaction, you follow. A great crisis is there. It is difficult now to prevent women all over the world, prevent them from copying man and his nonsense. Because man seems to be so successful. He is successful in a way. He has become master of things. Now he possesses the whole world. Now the nature he feels he has conquered. And success succeeds. Nothing succeeds like success. And now women feel man has succeeded and has become the master. They must copy him. But look at the other thing also in which man has failed completely. He has lost his heart. He cannot love. Reason alone is not enough. And reason in control is dangerous. Heart must be higher than reason. Because reason is just an instrument. And heart is you. The heart must be allowed to use reason, not the vice versa. But we have been doing that. The head is allowed to dominate. In its domination, the head has killed the heart. And thirdly, one thing more has to be remembered, why modern man has become incapable of love. Love is basically a sort of madness. A sort of deep participation with nature. a sort of dissolving the ego. It is primal. You are born out of love. Your every cell of the body is a love cell. Your very energy, life energy, is a love energy. You exist in it. But there is no ego in that energy. You cannot feel I. That energy is unconscious. And when you move in love, you become unconscious. Only a fragment of your mind is conscious. And in that fragment of the mind exists the ego. Mind has three layers. First, the unconscious. When you are deep asleep with no dreams, you are in it. The child in mother's womb is absolutely unconscious. He is just part of the mother. The child is not aware that I am separate, just part of the mother. No separation, no defined existence, undifferentiated with the mother and with the existence itself. There is no fear. Because the fear comes only when you become aware of yourself. The child is totally at ease. He is unconscious. And the second layer is of consciousness. A very small fragment, 1/10 part of the unconscious, has become conscious in you through training, education, society, family, and it was needed to survive. So a part of it has become conscious. But that part also gets tired very soon. That's why you need a sleep. In a sleep you become again a child in the womb. You have fallen back. The conscious is no more there. It has become part of the unconscious. That's why sleep is so refreshing. In the morning you feel alive again, fresh, because you have fallen back to the mother's womb. You may not have observed someone deep asleep. More or less he will be in the same posture as he was in his mother's womb. And if you can be in the right posture, sleep will follow more easily. If you feel any difficulty in sleep, just feel your mother's womb, imagine, and take the posture you would have been in the mother's womb. In that posture, you will fall asleep deeply. You need the same warmth. Otherwise, sleep will be disturbed. The same warmth of your mother's womb. And that's why hot milk is good. If you sip hot milk before you're going into a sleep, it will be good, because that again makes you a child. Milk is child food. And if hot, you are again at your mother's breast. Hot milk is good for sleep only because of this reason. You fall back into childhood. You are reduced to be a child. sleep refreshes you. Why? Because the conscious mind gets tired. It is just a part, and the whole is unconscious. It has to fall down back to the whole to get a revival. It is again resurrected. That's why morning you feel good, and morning looks beautiful, not because that only morning is beautiful, because again you have children's eyes. The afternoon is not so beautiful. The world is the same, but you have lost those innocent eyes again, and the evening has become ugly. You are tired. You have lived too much in the conscious. This conscious has the center as ego. These are two ordinary states we know. The third state, Tantra and Yoga, are concerned is the superconscious. The superconscious means when your whole unconscious has become conscious. In the unconscious there is no ego. You are total. In the superconscious again there is no ego. You are total. But in between the two, the conscious mind has a center, the ego. This ego is the problem. This ego creates problems. You cannot fall into love because then you will have to become unconscious, just as unconscious as you become in sleep. Or if you want to rise into prayer, you will have to become totally conscious, like a Buddha or like a Mira. So love becomes impossible, prayer becomes impossible. The ego creates the barrier. You cannot lose yourself. And love is losing, dispersing, dissolving, melting. If you melt in the unconscious, it is love. If you melt into the superconscious, it is prayer. But both are melting. So what is to be done? Remember this. You cannot do anything about it. Let it be deeply noted. You cannot do anything about love, about prayer. Your conscious mind is important. It cannot do anything. It has to be lost. It has to be put aside. And then remember surrender. Whenever you want to move beyond yourself, surrender is the way, either in love or in prayer. Whenever you long to move beyond, somewhere else where you are not, surrender, let go is the path. Allow some things to happen to you, don't manipulate. And once you know how to allow, many things will start happening. You may not be even aware what is possible to you. What a great, tremendous energy you have closed within yourself, which can explode and can become an ecstasy. And a whole life will be filled with consciousness, light and bliss. But you don't know. Just like every atom is an atom bomb. If it explodes, tremendous energy is released. And every heart is also an atom bomb. If it explodes in love or prayer, tremendous energy is released. But you have to explode and lose yourself. The seed has to lose itself only then the tree is born. And if the seed resists and says, no, I must survive, then the seed can survive, but the tree will never be born. And unless the tree is born, the seed will feel frustrated, because the tree is the meaning. The seed will feel frustrated. The seed can feel fulfilled only when the tree is there, flowering. But then the seed has to lose himself, die. Modern man has become incapable of love because he has become incapable of death. He cannot die to anything. Clings to life, cannot die to anything. In old English, 300 or 400 years before, this was a usual expression. The lover will say to the beloved, I want to die in you. This was a love expression, beautiful. I want to die in you. Love is a death of the ego. And only then your real self is born. And modern man is very, very afraid of death. In any way, surrender is death, love is death, and life also is a continuous death. If you are afraid, you will miss life itself. Be ready to die every moment. Die to the past, die to the future, and die in the present moment. Don't cling and don't resist. Don't make any effort for life, and you will have abundant life. Life will happen to you if you are ready to die. This looks paradoxical, but this is the law. Jesus says, one who is ready to lose will gain. And one who clings will lose everything. Second question. You said last night that the periphery is always changing, whereas the innermost center is eternally unmoving. To realize the center, is it necessary that the peripheral movements must cease? Can they cease? How and when? Then you have missed the whole point. The whole point was, don't make any effort to change the periphery. Allow the periphery as it is. And you cannot change it. It is the nature of the periphery to move and change. You cannot make it static. Nature is flux. It is so. You cannot make it static. And don't waste your time and opportunity in life to make it static. Just know it is change. Be the witness of it. And you will come to feel the innermost center, which is not change. The world is change. Your personality is change. Your body, mind is change. But you are not.